Tightening the Lesson, Loosening It, a short story by Muthoniwa Gĩkĩro, narrated by Joseph Dirago. I have a paper plant at one corner of my compound. The color of the papers is a dim crimson, beautiful and fiery hot, like the center of a wood fire. I wear a brightly colored lasso while harvesting the paper. The paper will add zest to the food I cook, the fieriness a sting to the tongue. I wash my hands with soap afterwards. It would bring tears to my eyes if I were to touch my mouth or eyes. The coronavirus has changed the things that were good for us, added a sting like that of pepper to our lives. How can we not shake hands? In Gikuyu, we say, even goats greet each other with their horns. Now a shake of hands could spread the virus. A kiss could be a kiss of death. Our smiles remain hidden behind a mask. There's something that people say. I was in that place when it happened. I was doing that when it happened. And I, too, remember the first reported case in Kenya on a Friday, a day nicknamed Friday. Furahi, Swahili for be happy, rejoice. A mixture of joy and sorrow for me that day. I had gone to Corner House in the heart of Nairobi City to sign a publishing contract for my latest manuscript. I remember the lift I took from the 12th floor. The air inside was thick with the musky odor of a mixture of perfumes and stale sweat. People were crowded in, elbows touching, as I felt as if there was not enough air for everyone to breathe. When we got to the ground floor, I took a deep breath, filling my lungs. All around me, people were spilling off lifts, jostling each other. Then I saw people coming out of another lift, covering their mouths with handkerchiefs. A couple of men of Chinese or Japanese descent were getting off that lift. I thought then of the months when the coronavirus ravaged China and the feelings of most of us in Kenya. The virus does not affect the dark skin. It won't come to Africa. Even when it was reported in Northern Africa, in Egypt, Algeria, Morocco, and Tunisia, we said it won't come to Sub-Saharan Africa. These people in the north are too light-skinned. But then here it was. March 13, 2020. A 27-year-old woman with skin as dark as the coffee berries that we grew in Kenya had it. Enterprising Kenyans already had masks out in the streets to sell, and I thought, I don't even want to cover my mouth and nose with that ugly thing. In a WhatsApp video shared among the various groups I'm in, an old woman is asked in Gikuyu what she can call a face mask. She says, a small rag to protect one from the devil's disease. Now I wear a mask while in public. I have even found some that are pretty, made from pieces of lasso. The lasso or kanga is a piece of cotton cloth with a jean, a section of the lasso with a message. It is worn by people in East Africa. Sometimes it's worn while out in the farm over the clothes to protect them from that. In the weeks following the onset of the pandemic in Kenya and the cessation of movement from counties, I find myself at loose ends. I cannot attend literary forums. Stay at home, stay at home, the government extols. Avoid public places. Schools were shut down in March. We cannot go to church. For a person used to waking up with places to go and people to meet, a day stretches before me. Hours crawling into each other. My small compound in Thika, an outlying town of Nairobi Metropolitan, feels stifling after a few days. The walls of my house hem in. It is as if the air is being squeezed out of the rooms. My husband and I begin taking long walks in our neighborhood, discovering new trees and roots. The scent of wild flowers and early smell of wet building sad heaped along Thika Garissa Road fills our nostrils. We walk between rows upon rows of pineapple plantations, which Thika is known for, smelling the sour, sweet smell of ripening pineapples. Back at home, a small garden on one side of the compound has maize that is flowering and banana plants, one of which is heavy with fruit. Outside the compound on the roadside, long grass grows as we have had steady rain in the last month. My husband, a teacher and a fellow writer, and I set to clear the grass, but then we think it'll grow quickly again. With a lasso tight on my waist, I heft the hoe, digging up the soil. The hostage feels rough on my hands, but the act of hard physical work, the straining of muscles, provides a kind of relief for the mind. I can concentrate on the ground I'm breaking up, the shaking off of soil from the grass and weeds I've pulled up. For a while, my mind does not dwell on the fear of pandemic that is raging all over the world, a flu that is killing by the hundreds, the numbers piling up daily. More than 1,000 people dead in one night, thousands reported to be infected. In Kenya, the numbers initially grew slowly, small dots in a belt of clothing. 21 cases reported, then 22, climbing to 30, slowly, no death yet. Then it is there in the news. The health minister's brow furrowed above the mask. On the March 26, the first death in Kenya as a result of the coronavirus. That day, the lasso I wrap is tight around my waist. The message in the gene, a prayer. In April, the number of those infected grows. Their belt of cloth stained with spots. Cessation of movement is extended to more counties, Mombasa, Kilifi. In late April, a part of Nairobi, Isili Estate, and a section of Mombasa, Mombasa Old Town, are torn off and batched up. No movement in and out of the estates. In April, too, the month when publishers pay royalties, the emails come. We are sorry we cannot afford to pay your royalties due to the coronavirus pandemic. We won't get the money my husband and I use for our second term fees. I relieved that schools were closed in March. Then Zoom classes start in May for my second born son who is in high school. And my daughter and my house helps daughter who are in primary school. We have to pay for the Zoom classes and the attendant internet charges. My husband fixes things around the house, wrapping lasso on his head like a turban. I weed a crop of sweet potato vines that I planted on the roadside, donning a lasso with the words, Bora uhai, megine mwashie Mungu. Be grateful for being alive. Leave the rest to God. While weeding, two women whom I have before only seen passing by stop to talk. A good crop of sweet potatoes, they say. Who could have thought that this ground, which was thick with grass and shrubs, could yield such a healthy crop? And I straighten up. In that moment, the women and I connect in the wonder of rebirth, of the wilting cuttings planted in the earth and new shoots emerging to spread over the ground. Kikuyu saying, Ireyaga na abugi onakuri ugwati, livestock will graze with tinkling bells even in the midst of danger. And so we learn to live with this disease. Now a face without a mask seems odd. We learn to save the little we have. I discover that there's a certain brand of bread which seems bigger than the others. The loaf has more slices than other breads, although it still weighs the standard weight, 400 grams. We learn to cheat the stomach. The banana fruit ripens, and I harvest the sun-ripened fruit while wearing a lasso loose around my midsection. Then I harvest papaya. That day, I twirl around with a bunch of bananas in my hands, stepping between the papaya, a celebration of nourishment. May is the man that those that I employed are celebrated. May 1st, International Labor Day. There's nothing to celebrate this year with so many people losing their jobs. My husband, who is still assured of a salary, is holding up one side of my family's livelihood while the other side serve, fluttering in the wind of uncertainty. May, a month of loss. Now more people are losing their lives to the coronavirus. Fatalities climb to 100 in Kenya. When before, people had asked each other, do you know someone who knows someone who knows someone who has died of the virus? Now we say yes. I know someone who has lost someone. It will not be until mid-June that I will feel the sting of untimely death of a friend. But now the fear of getting exposed and dying is becoming real. Mothers in our Gatuenyanga estate in Dika have started asking their children in Kenyan speak, you go where? You come back when? My stomach churns with worry when my two teenage sons leave the house. I ask the smaller children, my daughter who is in grade 5 and my household help's daughter who is in grade 5, what they feel about the disease. They take the whole afternoon taking turns to type their responses on the computer, playing computer games in between. 3 hours when they don't have to be outside playing, coming into contact with other children in the neighborhood. I listen as Naomi reads out her response.
Since this disease came, we children cannot go to church, to school. We cannot go out to play or even to the supermarket. If we go, we must wear a mask. When we are at home, we learn how to cook tea, rice, ugali, porridge, and eggs. We also learn how to bake. If you get out of the gate, you will see fire without smoke. We play games like tennis, badminton, and football. We can make a lot of things like gloves, mittens, and socks. We can make paper boats and paper jets. We plant flowers, beans, and sugarcane. We wash the car. I feel bad we cannot meet our friends. I pray this corona stops. The end, by Naomi, grade 5.
Then it is Lois's turn.
I miss my friends. I miss playing with Stella. I feel fine sometimes. I feel sad about corona. It makes someone so sick. Sometimes I am happy I have a doll. I want a puppy. I love my mother and father. I like going to school so that my aunt does not keep calling me Lois, Lois. The end, by Lois, grade 2.
We are worried about our children, how to protect them, how to feed them. The politicians are worried about their political survival. The 2022 elections in the horizon. Political alignments which had folded up when the pandemic was first reported, like a lasso that had been washed and pressed, have unfurled once again. The ruling party Jubilee, whose slogan is Pamoja, together with a symbol of clasped hands, is being pulled in two directions. We can hear and see the ring of tearing in our radios and TV screens. I take the Jubilee Party lasso given out during 2017 campaigns and I scrunch it up, discarding it into the clothes basket, like so many of the campaign pledges made by the politicians. There is a dry spell in the beginning of June after steady rain for almost 6 months. A 5 shillings worth bunch of skumawiki is now 3 leaves of kale tied together. We sing an old folk song from rain. My husband's baritone leads the singing. Wakahare, wakahare ni turadhane, ni turadhane. Na wandadha kagudhijira, kagudhijira. Na shio nyama tuari watuli, tuare watuli, na watuli. Na waturi mature tohiu, mature tohiu. Na tuo tohiu, na tuo tohiu, tura de igoro, tura de igoro. Na rio igoro, riura giebura, riura giebura. Na yo bura, na yo bure, kare ra nyeki, kare ra nyeki. Na yo nyeki, kare ra jau, kare ra jau. Na yo jau. Nayo jawi kagura muke kagura muka nake muka ga kiyoshuru nagoshuru toka hodoria Despite our singing, the rains remain high up in the sky. Towards the end of June, the water pipes gurgle and then fall silent. Water for all. A pledge made by politicians during the campaigns remains a pipe dream. I write a film script. The taps run dry. And my firstborn son, who has been home from university since the first case of COVID-19 in Kenya, shoots the video. It's a lament of things that should be and are not. Of dry taps when water should be plenty to wash our hands. Of scarcity of food when it should be contained at home to stop the spread of the virus. Of all these, a friend who has died of coronavirus, bringing the sting of death close to me so that it scratches at my heart. Of death, why couldn't you linger, let all this go by? All this, Eluo is buried in a hurry, when as per the Luo traditions, his death should have been mourned for several days, the death appeased, taught to stay away a while. In June, it has been a while since we have had an AMCA literature forum. the literary forum for women in Kenya that I coordinate. Amka, the Swahili word for arise, get up, do something. At the end of June, the participants of Amka get up. This thing that has separated us, made sitting together a danger, we find a way of beating it back, of reconnecting again. And so we have an online meeting and I see people, some I have not seen in a while. River, who moved to Japan, Isabel, who is in Germany, Amanda, who is somewhere abroad. Before the coronavirus, some people would have liked to attend the forum and were barred by distance. But now the click of a mouse connects us. We are wrapped around in virtual world, connected by our love of writing. I cover myself with a lasso. In the warmth of the lasso, I remember my late mother dripping a lasso over my shoulders. I feel again her lasso tickling my face as I sat near her feet while she told me stories of ogres, those frightening one-eyed beasts that would devour a whole village until one person found the ogre's weak point and was able to kill it. Then the halo would cut off the big toe of the ogre. The blood would gush out with all the people the ogre had devoured. The village would rise once again. In July, the pineapples ripen. All around the Del Monte pineapple plantations, the neighbor where I live are spotted with people harvesting the fruit. I walk along the access roads between the rows of pineapples. The air is redolent with the tangy, sour, sweet smell of the ripe pineapples, such that I feel my mouth watering. The harvesters are wearing knee-length boots and long leather gloves that go past their elbows to protect themselves from the sharp spines of the pineapples. I stop to ask a woman who is harvesting near the edge of a row whether they don't get snakes among the pineapple plants. She snorts before she tells me, "Yo, itakuwa tu bahati mbaya." That would just be bad luck. We cannot leave the fruit to rot in the fields. Later, at the beginning of August, I'll walk to another section of the Del Monte farm and find workers planting a new crop. The young shoots will be heaped in a pile. The workers, now wearing soft cloth gloves, will be handling the shoots gently, putting them into shallow furrows and heaping soil around them. Other workers will be following them with a sprinkler, watering the new shoots. It will occur to me that life will just go on. In times of war, people will live. In times of hunger, my people in East Africa will tie a lasso tighter around their waists. In times of this coronavirus pandemic, we'll continue to tie that piece of cloth, a piece of lasso or kitenge over our mouths and noses. We will keep apart from each other. However, a time will come when we'll be able to go for that ratio, bride price negotiations. The bride and other girls of similar build will be wrapped in lassos from head to foot. The bridegroom-to-be will be asked to identify his intended bride. He'll run his hands over the covered face of the girls until he is able to identify his chosen one. His arms will link arms and twirl around in loosely tied lassos while you're reading, their son has found a mate and the cycle of life is assured.